The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
Hour number three of The Drive, quitting time. It's 5 o'clock on your Tuesday. Rick Butler, the Nature Boy, back with the top 5 at 5.
All right, top 5 at 5. According to Allie LaForce on her Instagram page, Grant Williams will be announcing this Saturday whether or not he will go pro after talking extensively with multiple different teams so far.
Saturday is the day. Oh, man. What a great mid-May present that would be for Rick Barnes and all Tennessee fans if Grant Williams. I mean, feel bad for even asking this. Are we hoping that he kind of chokes this week at the combine? Just like can't throw it in the ocean. Like trips on his way out there. Like totally
Grant
embarrasses
Williams?
Himself. Yeah, just this week. Just this week.
No.
What if that's got lasting effects?
I mean, like.
Because.
I want him back.
Well, I know
I love
you do,
him.
But
I want to see him one more year.
Man, we got an outing
too. Orchard White, come back, Grant. Work on your game. We'll let you shoot threes next year.
But no, we don't. We aren't hoping for that, you maniac.
I'm hoping for it.
You know.
Low key hoping for it.
It's not looking too likely, in my opinion, that he's going to come back because number two in a new mock draft released by CBS Sports.
Oh, no.
Tennessee has not one, but two projected first-round picks.
Admiral.
Grant Williams is projected to go number 21 overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Admiral Schofield has snuck into the last spot of the first round, number 30, to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, man. You get to go out there and play with Giannis?
A duo of the Admiral and Giannis? That's something.
That would be awesome, man.
That would be good spots for both of them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, OKC would be a great spot to land for Grant.
Go out there and
play with Russ?
Yeah.
I hope the best for both of them. I just feel like the best for Grant would be back here in Knoxville for one more year. Is that so wrong of me to think? I think he needs
it's
some polish.
He
needs a little polish.
Just ridiculous. But
whose side are you on here,
Grant?
Whose side are you on,
Grant?
You could be on Grant's side and think he needs
young
to come
man
back.
Do well,
number three, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is sending a letter to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on behalf of Enes Kanter, encouraging safe passage for the Turkish center to Canada for all games. So basically, there's basically an immigration concern for when he goes to Canada. This is what the letter said. I ask your government to facilitate Mr. Kanter's safe passage to and from Canada should the Portland Trailblazers play the Toronto Raptors in Canada in the upcoming NBA Finals. I also urge your government to state publicly that it will not comply with any Interpol red notice meant to interfere with Mr. Kanter's livelihood and to intimidate him and his family back to Turkey. So this is very serious matters for just, you know, a championship basketball series. They think there's some serious immigration issues that could happen.
Wow. Have you seen Turkey, I guess, is pretty much a military dictatorship.
Yeah.
They're saying they will not be showing the Western Conference Finals and I guess the NBA Finals if the Blazers make it.
Basically, I know Enes Kanter has been very kind of outspoken.
Just like
and critical.
Pretend he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Pretend he doesn't happen.
They're going to try to, I mean, I guess Interpol might try to get him the second he goes up to Canada for the Toronto game, should that be it. All right, number four, NBA lottery is tonight, where 14 teams will get an opportunity to receive the number one overall pick in this year's draft, likely coveted recruit Zion Williamson. New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix all have a 14% chance at the top overall pick. The lottery selections will take place at 8:30 tonight on ESPN live from Chicago.
All right. Well, congrats to the ping pong balls. Hope everything turns out well for them. I love the ping pong balls. I think that's a great way of determining
it's better than those frozen envelopes they had before.
Look, I'll tell you what. I've been praying to the basketball gods all day for my team, because if we get If the Mavericks do not fall within the top five, then our pick goes to the Atlanta Hawks. But if we are in the top five, those loser Atlanta Hawks get to take our pick.
So you want pick six would be the best?
No, we want if the Mavericks are not in the top five, then Atlanta gets our pick wherever it is.
Oh,
for good. It's like so if we come in at six,
the higher pick.
Yeah, but we have a very unlikely chance. So we need the basketball gods to be in our favor. Number five, interesting report continuing on the NBA lottery, coming from The Athletic, reports that the Knicks would focus on flipping the number one overall pick should they get it for New Orleans Pelican star
Anthony.
For New Orleans star Anthony Davis. My question to y'all, would you rather have Zion Williamson or trade away for Anthony Davis and maybe a couple other, you know, rackety parts?
I don't know, man.
Would that blow up New York sports if they finally got the chance at Zion Williamson, which I feel like is what they've all been clamoring for?
And then
they trade him away?
Is Davis, what's his situation? He has one more year left in New Orleans, right?
No, he can.
No, I do think he has one more year left. But I believe he would just sit out the entire thing.
They would do a sign and trade thing.
Yeah.
He wants to trade.
Well, he just wants out of New Orleans.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, is there a way they could get them both? They need two. They need two stars.
You know who they could have? The Knicks, if they get that first pick.
Who?
They trade that first pick out to my guys out in L.A. and we'll send them LeBron. New York City.
I would much rather have Anthony Davis than LeBron if you're going to go first round picks.
There was a
LeBron's a cancer, dude.
I was reading something about the Sixers talking about potentially trading Ben Simmons to the Lakers for
which
LeBron.
Trading Ben Simmons for anybody that's half competent, I feel like, is a smart move. Ben Simmons sucks.
I was just skeptical of moving him to point guard. That this just seemed so weird.
Well, he doesn't shoot the ball.
Yeah.
He just does not. At one point, I believe it was about a week ago in the playoffs. I wish I could be more specific. But at one point in the entire playoffs up until the two rounds that they had gone through, he had one shot outside the paint.
Well, and he eats up so much space.
Yeah.
Embiid needs, you know, he needs to be down there on the block one-on-one, and he doesn't seem to get that kind of space there. But if you're if you're the Lakers, you have LeBron for however many more years you think you have LeBron. Things obviously didn't go well this year, but you're still the show with him, and assuming that he's healthy, like, you got to think they probably make the playoffs next year, right? I mean, it's just, would you rather have LeBron for, let's say, three more really good years of LeBron? Not as good as he has been, but three pretty good LeBron years versus Ben Simmons for maybe 10 years.
I don't think that Ben Simmons is that good. I think unless he creates a jump shot, which, yeah, it just feels like an incredible uphill battle right now for a top point guard in the NBA, that to me is tough, because ultimately, what if Ben Simmons only gives you three more years? Like, how good is 10 years of Ben Simmons in comparison to knowing exactly what you have of LeBron James for 4 years?
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Me neither.
At the end of the day.
There's a lot of weird things going on with free agency in the NBA.
Is that it?
A lot of divas. That's it. Top five at five.
Top five at five. Rick Butler has made his presence felt. We open up the phone lines to you at 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on the drive here this afternoon. If you're just joining us, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. Talk a little Tennessee football. You know we're getting into the offseason when 2 days in a row we have a Tennessee football-centric Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. How much better will the Vols be in this Jeremy Pruitt's second season on Rocky Top? 57% of the audience says Dennis will be a little bit better. 31% say they'll be much better. 8% say about the same. 4% say they're actually going to be worse. Don't see how that's possible. Probably shouldn't say that, but
Hold on.
Okay, hold. I know where you're going.
How come I can say that it can't be any worse in the first segment.
What did I say? What did I say? It's hard to imagine them being any worse.
What's the difference?
Not impossible. It's hard.
I feel like you guys are arguing quite a bit today. I don't like it.
Would you rather me argue with you?
You want to take embrace the L, sure.
Embrace debate, Bear. Embrace debate.
Okay. All right.
What do you want to argue about? You've fallen asleep over there. Low energy Bear has really been. You came out and poo-pooed my Tennessee's recruiting class might actually be better than it appears to be take, which wasn't actually my take. It was just kind of, it was science, actually. Data supplied by.
I'm feeling under the weather today. I ate an entire pizza last night. I haven't felt real good all day. Like an entire large pizza.
You ate a
what are you doing?
Whole pizza.
What are you doing, man?
From where?
What are you doing?
Huh?
Is it like a fast food, like a chain?
Yeah.
Pizza Hut?
You had Pizza Hut, didn't
you? Of course. You ate an entire large Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah.
What did the cubby?
He wasn't with me.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, this is what you're doing.
Bear, you're a grown man. You can't be eating the Rick Butler diet.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Bear, but pizza, one of the better foods that heats up well, so you didn't have to eat the whole thing.
You could have saved some for breakfast.
Well, I started rewatching The Bells. And then I was catching up on some TV, and I didn't really, you never do that. Like, you're watching something you're eating, and then you don't realize that you've plowed through an entire large pizza.
Whenever you look at the box, you're like, oh, damn, I've eaten the whole box of pizza.
If I ever get to where I've eaten more than, like, if I eat four slices of pizza, I'm done for, dude. It's just, I hate myself.
I had eight.
I mean, that sounds... Yeah, yeah. I'd say you're feeling a little lethargic today.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
I really wasn't.
You ate an entire large Pizza Hut pizza, bro.
And then I looked down and realized that I was going to have to take a walk.
Take a walk?
Yeah, to walk.
You're going to puke it all up.
No, I've only done that one other time.
Were you just like so zoned in on the TV, you were just like reaching over into the pizza box, just grabbing, and then you reach in and like, oh, the box is empty.
Well, I looked because it finally caught up with me. And I'd eaten like half of the last piece. And I was like, well, hell, I mean, I didn't want to throw it away. So I went ahead and ate it. I've only done this twice in my life where I've screwed up and done this.
Why would you throw it away?
It was half eaten.
The piece?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and put it in the fridge. It's okay.
No, you don't. Half a piece?
Oh, yeah, because that would be crazy. Just go ahead and eat the whole thing.
You might as well throw it away.
Throw it away? No, you don't. It's half a piece of pizza. You stick it in the fridge. Eat it later.
Why would you heat up half a piece of pizza?
That's what I'm sitting here trying to figure out.
Why would you put a half-eaten piece of pizza in the fridge to heat up later? Would not satisfy your hunger.
I just walked around the block a couple of times. You got to work it down. You got to walk it down. The worst was when I ate a large Windy City special. That was a weird feeling. I had to walk for like an hour that night.
So you eat an entire pizza.
Yeah.
And then go get some exercise?
Not really. Yeah, you just got to walk.
Why?
Because it's the only thing that I've found in my life that works when you like grossly overeat like that. You got to work it down, man. My other problem is I eat really, you've eaten with me. I eat incredibly fast. And apparently that's a really bad idea. Because it takes a certain amount of time for your body to kick in and tell you that you're full.
Yeah.
So you can get way over full.
So how long did it take you to eat the entire large pizza?
Let's see.
What are you going to say, Brian? I would say 20 minutes.
That's exactly
what
I was trying
to figure out. When I realized
less than half an hour?
When I realized I'd eaten all of it, It was about 20 minutes into the bells, I guess, yeah. What was that, around 20-minute mark? She started blasting with Drogon. Golden Company got sacked.
I just feel I want to barf just listening to this story.
What kind of pizza was it? Just pepperoni? Pepperoni sausage?
No. Supreme.
Oh, my God.
Peppers, onions, mushrooms.
Oh, wait, pepperoni. Wait. What are you washing that down with?
What the hell do you think?
Pepsi. You have a whole 2-liter right beside you just drinking out of
just
the bottle?
Straight from the 2-liter bottle?
You guys know me. I have to have ice.
Oh, yeah. You got to have the ice.
You got to keep it as it was crushed ice at that, so yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, we got children listening to this show right now.
Don't do what I do. And as always, it's like the Cub says, you never repeat what Pop, Uncle Russ, and Uncle Chance say.
You can repeat what I say, but come over to my house last night. You know, some grilled salmon, some asparagus, a little white rice,
mm-hmm.
a little dash of soy sauce mm-hmm. on it. It's good. It's good.
Mrs. Dubs takes very good care of you.
Wholesome. Yeah. No, we got spaghetti tonight, man. I can't wait to go home. It's my favorite meal.
Ooh. Kill for some spaghetti.
I love some spaghetti.
I want to go to Olive Garden. You seen that? I want to try that giant meatball thing. You seen that thing?
I'm not big on meatballs.
It's like bigger than Rick's head. It sits on this massive pile of pasta.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. A Rick's head-sized meatball? Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one. Let's take a quick time out. It's The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville. It's The Drive. Russell, Rick, Bear, Brandon, all hanging out with you, taking your phone calls today, 865-546-8200. So when you eat the entire Pizza Hut large supreme pizza in 20 minutes for dinner last night,
right?
Wash that down with 2 liters of ice-cold Pepsi Cola.
No, I didn't drink that much Pepsi.
Do you – like, what do you – like, do you even eat breakfast? Have you eaten since then?
I had some yogurt and some, you know, like crackers.
So you haven't had to have like an actual meal today. That's just kind of
No, I mean, like
you're loading and like, it's just like, okay, I've eaten the entire large pizza. I'm good for about 24 hours.
Calorie wise, I'm probably good until Friday, but yeah, you get up and you eat a little bit of yogurt, maybe a banana. Because when you wake up after doing something like that, a lot of times you're like ravenous. You're just hungry as hell.
After eating an entire pizza, you wake up hungry?
Yeah. You can't get your stomach got all stretched out.
Yeah, but it's still in there, right?
Yeah. It's about 12, 13 hours.
All right. New Tennessee defensive back commitment.
Bears digestive system.
we'll revisit that. We'll include that on the reset tomorrow. We'll check in and see how everything's coming out there
better.
For you. The new addition to Tennessee's 2020 recruiting class, we told you about him yesterday, Art Green, Hutchinson Community College, a JUCO cornerback. And we didn't have anything, you know, all the stargazers, like, what is this guy ranked? What's his star rating? What's he ranked in the country?
He's huge.
And we say we don't know because he's a JUCO and they haven't rated him yet. Well, less than 24 hours after he announces his decision to commit to Tennessee, 247 Sports decides that, we're going to rank him now. And according to 247, he is now the number one JUCO cornerback in the class of 2020 and a 4-star recruit.
I may be wrong on this, but is he not also the number two?
Possibly the number one JUCO.
Overall JUCO? Yeah. We already have the number one JUCO already.
Yes. The Jordan Davis?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the...
Like, do they just not rank these guys until they commit?
Because that seems really shady. And listen, man, I
because, I mean, if he commits to Vanderbilt, if he commits to Kansas.
There you go.
Is he a 4-star?
It doesn't look good for the recruiting industry, the recruiting media industry, right?
I mean, not that they – I mean, they already kind of look bad.
I mean, to me, this is a really bad look. Like, you don't know whether he's committed. You don't know where he's ranked. Excuse me. You don't have him ranked. There's no sort of ranking. Then all of a sudden, boom, he commits to Tennessee. Oh, yeah, he's also got offers from Florida and Georgia and half a dozen other SEC programs. Okay, we'll go and make him the number one JUCO cornerback in the country. Well, based on what? Like, am I really supposed to believe that this is just a big coincidence that you've been diligently researching all the junior college players, all the junior college corners for however long you've been doing it, mm-hmm. and you just happen to have those rankings prepared and ready to go hours after this kid commits? Seems a little fishy to me.
I could see how you'd feel that way.
It seems like 247 is really trying to sell Tennessee fans 247 subscriptions.
That's how that works, Russ.
But for me, I don't want, like, it devalues the product. Because, like, it just doesn't seem to hold water to me. It seems like you're just making this stuff up on the fly. And listen,
what I felt about your rankings that you led the show off with, and you jumped all over me.
But that wasn't arbitrary. That was, you know, the same standard applies to you're taking information that already existed, and you're just quantifying it. Whereas this seems like you're just kind of pulling. Have we ranked the other? Who's the number two junior college? Like, does that exist? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've been working on that for weeks. They've been traveling around scouting the players, watching the film, talking to coaches, mm-hmm. and like, this is a legit ranking, and it just so happens that this kid ends up being the number one player at his position in JUCO hours after he commits to Tennessee. Maybe. And if that's the case, then I take back everything I'm saying. I don't think that's the case, man. Like, and I'm not trying to come off on the 247 dudes. Like, I know that they all do a great job, and I don't know that Rivals would do it any differently. But
didn't sit well with you? Well, apparently.
I mean, I'll take it. Okay. Like, it's good for Pruitt. It's good for Tennessee fans. It makes us look better. It makes us look like we have some momentum. But it also is just not a very good look for that industry. Yeah, 4-star defensive end linebacker Jordan Davis of Copiah Lincoln Community College in Wesson, Mississippi, who announced his commitment to the Vols back in November, is the only other 4-star in 247's junior college rankings and is currently the number one JUCO player in the 2020 class. So we got the number one overall player and the number one overall corner. And, that might be what you have to do. We're talking about Tennessee struggling to get momentum with in-state recruits again this year. Looks like some other guys are starting to emerge and that we're quote-unquote slow playing, which really bit us last year. Maybe you just junior college the heck out of it. Look for some guys who can come in and play right away as opposed to dudes that might need a year or two of development.
You better hope it works.
It seems like it's hit or miss, man.
It's a crapshoot.
For every Cordarrelle Patterson you have, there's a Kenny O'Neill.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah. What's Kenny doing now, you think?
I mean, I hope he's doing well, but, boy, people don't even know who that is. He was a 5-star junior college wide receiver Tennessee signed in, I want to say, 08, maybe 09.
I remember sitting in the parking lot at work.
Probably 2008.
It came down.
I think that was Fulmer's last year.
I was pounding.
They said, this kid can fly. Legit 4.3 speed. He's going to be awesome.
We were back.
I don't know if he caught a single ball, man. Like, there were a couple. I remember they had a package, and they would trot him in there. And every time he came in, we gave it to him on an end around. And, like, the first time, it didn't even work. It never worked.
But everybody knew he came in.
But then, we kept doing it, like, once or twice a game. And every time he would come in, it was like there was an alarm going off in the stadium. And, like, the other team saw it coming from a mile away. And I don't – it may have gained like a yard or two the first time we ran it. I think it was a negative yard loss play every time after that.
It never worked.
just totally ripping on poor Kenny O'Neill today. There are some other JUCO busts we've had over the years. I mean, for every Alvin Kamara, there's another one that doesn't work out. Was Justin Martin a bust?
Justin Martin?
Yeah.
Jeff George?
Who?
Jeff George.
Was he a JUCO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always looked great in the spring games.
He was so tall. Was he like 6'6", wide receiver?
He'd just go up in high point balls.
Yeah.
And just never seemed to translate during the real season.
Origin White game all-star.
Who were some of the better ones? Charlie Garner, Chris Mims, Chuck Smith.
Yeah, man, we hit on a bunch of them back in the day.
When I was in math class, like my sophomore year, Jeff George sat in front of me, and I had to ask him to move seats because I couldn't see the whiteboard over how tall he was. And it was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done. I couldn't see the board.
You had to ask him to move?
I just said, hey, man, like, can you scoot to the left a little bit?
Why didn't you just move?
The row was full. His row was not full.
Scoot to the left.
Why don't you just climb over the one in front of
him? Yeah, why don't you just go sit next to him?
I liked my seat.
So you asked the guy to move. Like that's such a – I don't feel like that's kind of a beta move.
Hey, excuse me, sir. You're very tall. You're blocking my view.
Could you
move over?
Should have climbed over that
my
seat.
Glasses
can
are
you
very,
just, can you just very difficult to left.
See. My contacts, my glasses are very thick, and my doctor said that I have to sit a certain distance from the chalkboard or I can't see. Would you please move, sir? I can't see through you. You're too tall for me.
Should have climbed over and said,
"This did not go as expected."
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
Rick thought he was walking. Rick thought he was walking in with a really cool story about the former Vol player that he met. They didn't realize we were just going to totally rip on him for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
You got another.
He's a tall guy.
Your glasses are very thick, Rick.
Oh, my glasses! They're so thick. They're like Coke bottles. Could you please move?
You could burn ants with those things, couldn't you?
Could you please move to the side?
Whoa! You're making fun of my medical condition of me being legally blind in my right eye.
Yeah, it's one step away from racism.
It's not what so do you much think? That. It's just that the lenses make your eyes look huge.
Well, I need them to see. These are the glasses that you hate, too.
Oh, man.
I've been telling you. They're not the right prescription. I mean, we can take it to the air if you want me to.
Optometrist Bear.
You want me to take it to the air?
Garner wants to know how much Butch is donating to Catholic for Knoxville athletes.
Not a dime. You're breaking one of your longstanding policies.
What's that?
People that are blocked, you're bringing stuff to the air. I mean, if he wants to say that stuff, Garner's welcome to call in.
What's my policy? I don't have any blood.
You don't let anybody. If you've always been, if you want to bring something, call up and do it. I feel like that's always
we read from Twitter all the time. Garner also says, does Catholic still have Maryville on the football schedule for an annual loss?
No, Maryville's really selective about when they schedule people. They've done it. They did it with Catholic. They did it with Fulton. They tried to do it with Alcoa, but Alcoa got him this year. I don't know. Are we going to rehash the Maryville Catholic rivalry? Just because Garner – you know what the worst part is?
I believe it's Maryville.
It's Maryville.
The way it's pronounced.
And the funniest part about Garner is he's not from Maryville. He's not a Maryville fan. He's out there with the snake handlers. That's where he went. They don't have a football program anymore. It's been run into the ground.
Snake handlers?
Just leave it at that.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I imagine most of the audience does too.
Are you talking about CAK, the snake handlers? Or is that a Grace rip?
No, Grace won't play Catholic. They get killed. They play some basketball.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We got to find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Coming up next, get more of your phone calls in here as well. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
At Gold's Gym.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865 566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
Dodgers pitcher Julio Urias was arrested Monday night on suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence slash battery, according to the L.A. Police Department. Police said the arrest stemmed from an incident between Urias and a woman in a parking lot of the Beverly Center, a shopping area, happened around 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Urias spent the night in jail, was released at 1:30 a.m. after posting $20,000 bail. Dodgers, in a statement, said, "We learned about the alleged incident this morning and are in the process of gathering information. As a result, we have no comment at this time regarding the instance. However, every allegation of domestic violence must be taken seriously and addressed in blah, blah, blah." Urias is one of the top young pitchers in the Dodgers organization. Left-hander has been used as a starter and reliever this season, going 2-2 with a 3.18 ERA and 2 saves in 9 games, including 4 starts. So he's a good player. It'll be interesting to see if the allegations hold merit, how they will handle that.
It's not a good deal.
No, it is not. Certainly not.
I can't believe it's a misdemeanor.
Cowboys defensive lineman Tyrone Crawford was charged with a misdemeanor count of unlawful assembly stemming from an incident in March at a bar in Panama City Beach. According to online records, Crawford was charged via summons on March 27th and pled not guilty on April 12th. The incident took place on March 15th, according to a complaint affidavit. TMZ published video that shows Crawford fighting with members of the security staff at Coyote Ugly Saloon. According to the affidavit, there was a fight between patrons and bar security that spilled out onto the street. The affidavit alleges that Crawford charged toward an officer who was attempting to restrain a member of his party and pushes in between the officer and the defendant, hindering the officer from detaining the individual. Pretrial conference scheduled for June 13th in the case. This is a dangerous gig, man, about being one of those a bar bouncers. You never know when a Dallas Cowboy is going to walk
in.
What
the hell is that guy doing? He's there on spring break. You're at Panama City Beach in the middle of March. You're on spring break. This guy's a professional football player. College is over.
It's offseason.
Guy wants to go hang out at spring break with a bunch of college kids? That sounds like hell on earth.
I don't know how old he is. You know, he's not there to hang out with the college kids. He's probably there to chase the college girls.
That's true.
Is probably why he's there. Again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush or speculate recklessly.
I'm going to have to check out the video. I'll check the tape for us.
But yeah,
wow. I would not want to be a security guy in a bar and have to fight a professional football player. He's just picking that one guy up and tossing him. Woof.
Who's the former Cowboy who's MMA guy now?
Oh, Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Made quite possibly the biggest piece of blank on the planet.
Piece of human debris, right?
Yeah. He should be doing 15 to 20 in federal, prison.
Did he get disqualified from a UFC fight for eye gouging or something too?
Yeah, he did. He pulled an illegal move.
Oh yeah, you need the dude while he was on the ground. I mean, who would have thought that Greg Hardy would turn out to be a dirty fighter? I know, shocking, right? That is The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Check them out online at dag-us.com. Disability Advantage Group can handle a multitude of Social Security disability insurance cases, including claims for those suffering from, but not limited to, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, brain injuries, arthritis, cancer, mental disorders, to see if you qualify for disability benefits, give them a call. One call does it all to Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800. Is their number, 566-0800. Or just go online to dag-us.com for Disability Advantage Group. Our phone number, you want to jump in the drive here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to jump in here this afternoon. Do we have, no, all lines currently available for the first time this afternoon. Busy show today. Go ahead, jump in now. Shoot your shot at 865-546-8200.
Have you watched this?
The Greg Hart or the
Crawford
Tyrone
video?
Tyrone Crawford. No. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can imagine, I mean, the security guys at a Panama City Beach bar.
But, yeah, they're thinking, man, like, we don't get paid enough for this. How many of them does it take? Like, maybe three or four of them to subdue him?
Dude, this
him?
Thing's raging for like a minute where he's just one by one. I mean, it looks like the Hound from Game of Thrones taking on, you know, the Queen's Guard on the steps there.
Oh, man.
Speaking of which, I watched have you all watched the behind the episode yet?
No, I need to go back and watch that.
Like the thing they showed?
No, I'm talking, it's like a 35-minute feature on
how they shoot the episode.
Yeah.
I've not watched insane. It on that one, but I've watched it. I watched it on the one last season where the loot train.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
It's similar Those to that, are... only on steroids. They remember how we talked about how King's Landing looked different?
I don't remember us talking about that, but I noticed that.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's completely different. Where King's Landing, they built a side lot set. Like that's part of the reason.
Where they're standing
so
outside the gates?
Yeah. That's in Belfast. Where King's Landing is it's Dubrovnik. I can't remember which country Dubrovnik.
Croatia.
Croatia. Because they had obviously the Croatian government and the government in Dubrovnik didn't want them destroying Dubrovnik. But it's wild. But they go through pretty much every part of the episode. The cool part was it shows I can't ever pronounce the guy's name. He had just won the Mountain, the actor.
No, I don't know his real name.
He had just won the Strongest Man in the World competition again right before he shot it. And it shows, like, in between takes, the guy, the actor who plays the Hound. I mean, they're really going at it.
Like, really clobbering each other?
Yeah.
Gah.
And that scene where he was choking him and stuff, like, he was really choking the hell out of him during that part of the fight. They showed all kinds of stuff.
How much money how do they get paid? They get paid by episode?
I think so.
Like, how much money do you think the Hound makes per episode, Game of Thrones?
When he's in it? I don't know. We can probably find out if you look it up. He's a pretty major character in the whole series.
Like, they probably weren't making a ton that first season because it came out of nowhere, man. It was a surprise hit. Like, I know they invested a lot. It probably.
Well, remember, they shot the original pilot, then they reshot it, and they did it on the cheap.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the show definitely looks different. Like, you go back and let that first season, you can tell it just looks cheaper. Like,
well, they hadn't built that huge sound stage and all the CGI, and they've got like four different companies.
Yeah, but I mean, once it blew up and became the biggest show going, like
as
at that
far
point,
as cable television,
yeah, at that point you invest a lot more in it. You know, like it's like, okay, this is going to work, and it's worth the expenditure.
Yeah, the only person who's ever done that was the guy that greenlit the pilot episode of Lost. And when the executives at the board at ABC got the bill for the first episode of Lost,
they're like, what?
He got fired.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think they hired him back after it became one of the biggest
that sucks.
Hits. But, yeah, he signed off on, like, yeah, you. I want to say the first episode of Lost was millions and millions of dollars to shoot. That whole scene on the beach with the, you know, the jet crashed and all that. But I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah.
A lot Do you of have research like on how much these folks make?
I saw something earlier. I don't know if I'm about to look it up right now.
Game of Thrones, colossal hit, salaries reflect that. Stars Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, Lena Headey, Cersei Lannister got big raises in 27 ahead of the show's final season, which begins Sunday. They now make $500,000 per episode.
That's not, I mean, that's a massive amount of money.
$3 million for probably a year. I mean, it takes, how long do you think it takes to film the six episode season? Probably took them half a year.
I mean, that one, the one battle scene from the Battle of Winterfell took like 57 nights. That's another thing they show in that thing is the actor who played Varys. They had to, his last scene in the series, spoiler alert, they had to keep bringing him out there multiple days. Just for the same thing where he's just, okay, I guess I'm going to die again.
They were making $300,000 an episode in 2017, so that's steadily gone up. I bet you they're making less than $100,000 per episode in that first season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't even know what it was going to be.
Most of, none of these actors are really known.
Do you think, like...
Who was the most well-known? Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage, I would say. Or no, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, yeah. He was like the only one I think I'd ever heard of. Which
you'd
like,
heard of Dinklage.
I don't know. What was he in before Elf. Game of Thrones? Elf, yeah.
Okay. Elf.
Yeah, that came out before. But I think that kind of makes the show better when you go in. Like, that show would not have worked if George Clooney played Ned Stark, right?
No.
It had to be a cast of unknowns.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today, but like, but what are they going to do now?
The stars?
Yeah.
Count their money. I don't think they're going to go on to huge things. I mean, Jon Snow's character has already tried a couple of different, like he was in some flops, right?
Kit
like,
Harington was?
Yeah. There was some.
Well, he's got it made. That the young lady that played Ygritte, how do you say it? I can't remember now.
Ygritte.
She's Scottish royalty.
Bran and Arya only make $175,000 an episode.
It feels like a ripoff for Arya.
That would suck. Yeah. You're sitting there next to everybody else making 500 G's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like Arya hasn't been a fairly major part of this show.
Typically when shows start losing people.
Well, they made it through. And what are the chances of that? Like the... they didn't lose any actors, right? Everybody they needed kind of made it through the whole 10 years. This is a pretty young cast.
There've been a couple of people that have, like, the Mountain's been three different actors.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, he looked completely different that first time you saw him.
But I mean, as far as the
Mountain, who else? There's been a couple.
The guy that was like Danny's little love affair or whatever,
yeah,
she was over there.
The sellsword guy?
Yeah.
He completely changed.
He changed from one season to the next.
Yeah.
That really confused me at the time. I thought they were two separate characters.
Yeah.
No. Same, supposed to be the same person. You realize Grey Worm's a rapper.
What?
Yeah. Raleigh, I forgot his last name.
It's so funny how into this show Bear is.
Shut up.
You realize Grey Worm is a rapper. I've listened to a couple of stuff. It's not bad.
I don't think I said it like that. I don't think I've ever said anything like that.
Stay with us.
It's usually my voice for you, you dork.
The drive continues. The shocking conclusion coming up. All right, wrapping up on the drive this afternoon. Draft lottery tonight. Go back and watch episode 2 of Chernobyl. Did not see that. Last night.
I'm not watching it, man.
You scared?
No, it's just that. I mean, it's just absolutely, utterly depressing. And it really happened. I remember when it happened. I remember where I was when it came over the radio in the car.
I don't find it depressing. I find it a little bit shocking. It is it's a really good narrative because everybody knows kind of like we know the story, but you don't really know the story. Right, it's like we know what happened, and there's an explosion and radiation, and lots of people died, and they built the thing over it. Nobody can go there now, and it's kind of this weird ghost town. You could actually go in there for like they take tours in there. You can go in there for like less than 30 minutes. And they'll drive you right up to the abandoned villages and
Why
stuff like that.
Why the hell would anybody?
I wouldn't do it, but they say it's safe. There are some people,
if
too.
You can, if they tell you you can only stay there for 30 minutes, it ain't safe, bro. Okay?
Well, that's what I think. Like, what if the bus breaks down?
Yeah, like, if you just walked in there wearing your, you know, your West Knoxville dad outfit you've got strapped on right now, just like that, you'd be dead.
That's supposed to be some sort of an insult.
Your body would open up with radiation, you know, with the sores, and you'd basically liquefy, and then you die from radiation poisoning.
Well, if you go right up to the thing and hang out. That was, the first episode. Like, the fire crew, they've got, like, fire department guys, like, hoses spraying water into the raging
plutonium
nuclear
fire.
Meltdown. But they don't know. And so, like, they get there, and, like, there's, you know, there's all this rubble where the explosion was, and this guy sees this weird-looking brick, and he picks it up. He's like, what is this?
So wasn't it like
He puts it down and goes on, and, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, his hand starts melting. It was a chunk of graphite from the reactor that exploded.
That's right. It was a graphite reactor.
And it just melted the dude's hand.
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's
like you pick it up and don't feel it. It's just warm.
Wasn't it like a $3 part that failed that caused that whole thing?
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. But people are coming out to see the fire and everything because it's raging. And like people are out in the middle of they're looking at this magnificent looking fire. And meanwhile, like this radioactive ash is like falling. You see it like it's really the cinematography of it is really creepy. It's just like the ash is falling on their hair and faces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They said one guy, because they, you know, the Soviets are covering it up, right?
So right.
They won't tell anybody how dire the situation is for several days. So the next day is a beautiful day and everybody's just going about their day, just walking around. Huge nuclear meltdown in full on progress, blocks away. One guy went to the top of his building to sunbathe. Like, put out the lawn chair, took his shirt off, and just sat there. All this radiation just
blasting him.
Yeah. Like, I mean.
That's not even their word. The Soviets' worst disaster area.
Really?
Yeah. There's a place called Anthrax Island. I think it's up in the Aleutians.
That sounds pleasant.
Nobody's going to be able to safely set foot there for God. They don't even know. Because anthrax spores apparently. They don't, you know, if you go out there and dig it up and release the spores, I mean, they were doing stuff like they were playing around with Ebola, making it like 99.9% fatal.
That sounds,
it's called Marburg.
Not good.
The Marburg virus.
It says it's a former island territory split between Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. Constructed a biological weapons test site, Aralask 7. What's going on over there? Oh, nothing. Just testing the anthrax bombs over here.
They've got some. You want to talk about creepy pictures? That place is creepy.
In 2002, through a project organized and funded by the United States with the assistance of Uzbekistan, 10 anthrax burial sites were decontaminated. They're just throwing that stuff in the ground. That's good. Put some dirt on it. We're okay.
Animals and people.
Experimenting with a variety of weapons, including anthrax, smallpox, plague, brucellosis, and tularemia. Whatever that is. Rabbit fever. What are they doing over there, man?
I don't know.
Those
there's
communists.
Like, I can't remember the exact number. I'll have to look it up.
We were doing the same thing, right?
I mean,
we're just sticking our nuclear waste out in the desert in Utah somewhere, right? I mean, there's some places you don't want to go out there.
Yeah, we're probably a lot safer
with
our biological and chemical.
I would hope so.
We've never found out where they're at. It's a lovely end of the show.
Yeah,
Chernobyl
on that note,
Anthrax Island.
Y'all have a great evening. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on The Drive. Your friends at Overtime. Coming up next, we have Tanner Carson had the wisdom teeth taken out today. So is he here? Oh, he's high as a kite somewhere. You're doing.
He's miserable.
Rick will be with you.
Reek.
Y'all be good. We'll do it again Wednesday right here on Fan Run Radio.